smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
In November, Good Dog Podcast featured an interview with Marlena Cervantes talking about her business, Flex Pets. She made some good points about people who love dogs and want to spend quality time with them, but don't really have the lifestyle to support dog ownership. Through her business, people can have a dog some of the time. Flexible Pet Ownership, it's called. The episode is still on gooddogpodcast.com, so you can hear it for yourself. Well, it turns out that not everyone thinks flexible pet ownership is a good idea. So much so that legislation has passed in the Massachusetts state legislature banning the renting or leasing of pets. My guest is Massachusetts State Representative Vincent Pedoni, the man behind the effort to prevent Flex Pets, or any business like it, from operating in the Commonwealth. Representative Pedoni, welcome to the Good Dog Podcast.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
So why does this issue get under your skin? What is it about flexible pet ownership that you think is just plain wrong?
Well, I got to tell you that there were a number of calls that came into our office over the past few months regarding this this business, and there was a promotion on the website, Flex Pets website, saying that they were coming to Massachusetts and coming to Boston, and they're taking applications. Well, that sparked some discussion about whether or not this is something that the city of Boston wants. To come to their city, and then it led to a discussion as to whether or not we should, as a state, look at this practice. And the city of Boston has just passed a city ordinance. It's waiting on the mayor of Boston's signature, which would prevent companies like Flex Pets from coming and operating in the city. And this state legislation is just behind the city of Boston. So. What had happened was we received phone calls from animal rights activists and animal welfare activists, and they basically said that this is not a good idea for a whole host of reasons. And it's, you know, there are public safety issues, there are issues with consumer protection, there are issues with insurance and liability, you know, and then you can look at the issue of the welfare of the animal. So there were a number of things that came up during our committee process and during our investigation into this bill, and we decided as a committee, the Committee on Municipalities and Regional Government, which oversees pet ownership and some domestic animal issues, that this is something that the full legislature should take a look at. The bill has passed initially, the initial part of the legislative process, and it's awaiting final approval in the House.
Well, let's talk about some of those different issues, some of the objections that animal rights activists had. You said public safety for one. What were the problems in that area?
Well, we received testimony at a public hearing, and just so everybody understands, this bill received a public hearing. The hearing was posted. All parties that were interested were notified. So people from Flex Pets were notified that we were having this public hearing, and apparently they hired a Boston lobbying firm to represent them because, you know, they're not a large company, and they probably can't afford to send people out to testify at a public hearing. However, they did reach out to a Boston lobbying firm out here, and that firm communicated to them that we were having a public hearing. And actually, nobody who was opposed to banning the rental of pets came to this public hearing. It was all testimony for about 4 hours on what the reasons why we should not have it. So quite honestly, we didn't get any testimony, written, oral, or otherwise, saying why we should allow this. It was all testimony why we shouldn't allow it. And the experts that came to testify were people from the Tufts Veterinarian School, which is a predominant, which is one of the best veterinarian schools from our experience. In the country, and the head of the animal behavior department came and testified and basically said, in a nutshell, that, you know, dogs cannot, with any kind of certainty, be able to go from person to person, owner to owner, and still remain in control. And what they said was, you know, it's not like going out and renting a car, where if you get in a car, you get in a Toyota, you know, if you want to drive a Camry, you get in a Camry, and you every Camry you get in drives exactly the same. Well, every dog that you come in contact with is not going to react the same way under the same handler, under the same situation. If you are an owner and you own a pet, you know the characteristics, you know the tendencies, you know the things that might set this animal off. That is not consistent with what Flex Pets is all about, and that is not consistent with what the testimony that we received, you know, supported. So from a public safety perspective, what the animal behaviorists were saying, the people from Tufts Veterinary School, said that there is no ability to predict how an animal is going to react, you know, when it's being transferred from one person to another constantly.
You know, I feel like I need to play devil's advocate here for just a minute, Vincent. And I'm not so sure it's a great idea either, but I'm thinking about the dogs that I've owned, and when we travel, we have someone come and stay here at the house with our dog, or there have been times where we've sent her to a ranch, which is kind of a cushy kennel, I guess is the best way to describe it, where there just are not that many dogs, and she gets to, you know, run free on a ranch. But, you know, and I'm thinking she's done well, and my understanding of the Flex Pets model was that you were going to have like a couple of different people almost sharing a particular pet, that she'd either be with this family or that family.
Quite honestly, I was the one playing devil's advocate at our hearing, because nobody would come and represent the position of the industry. I had to be the devil's advocate with every single person that came up and testified in favor of this ban. So I was doing the same thing that you were doing, that you're doing right now. The answer, that was a question that I asked. The answer given directly back to me by the director of animal behavior at Tufts Veterinary School said, "You're absolutely right. When you go on vacation, you drop that dog off at a doggy daycare, at a ranch, or what have you. However, the consistency in that dog's life is immediately returned when you come back after that 1 week or that 2 weeks. And owners have been able to say when dogs do come back from that daycare, they don't act the same way they did before they went to the daycare. I mean, if you drop a dog off and you leave the dog for 2 weeks, there is a readjustment period.
Absolutely.
There is a readjustment period when you get that dog back. So think about...
But the dog isn't damaged. The dog's not damaged by the experience.
Not at all. Not at all. But there is that level of getting that dog back into a routine. Now think about this happening every single week for 52 weeks a year with no consistency. The animal, and this is, again, in the opinion of the experts, the animal will not be predictable, which then will cause a serious public safety problem.
Potentially, right.
Now, potentially could cause a public safety problem. You know, you're walking down the Boston Common, you know, you have a golden retriever on the leash, and if it's your dog, you know that golden retriever doesn't like the sound of sirens. So if a fire truck is coming up the hill, you know that you're going to restrain the dog, you're going to pull him away from other dogs, you're going to calm him. But you might not know that about the animal that you wanted to rent for the weekend. You know, and the dog might react in a way that you don't expect. So that's the other, and with regard to doggy daycare, I mean, that was one of the other things I talked about. I said, well, people who work, who can't, you know, who can't leave their dogs in their house, they drop them off or they have dog walkers or what have you. But again, they come back to this level of consistency in the dog's routine. That dog understands that he is going or she is going to a doggy daycare, but is returning. And there is some level of consistency in that dog's routine, which would not exist in this model. So the public safety issue kept coming back to, when there is not consistency in these animals' lives, they become very unpredictable. An unpredictable dog is a dangerous dog.
I can't help but think about joint custody of children. And obviously we know that it isn't an ideal situation. Divorce is not ideal. But are we going so far here as to protect dogs in ways that we don't even protect children?
Well, I mean, a child is a human being with who's a thinking person. I mean, you want to raise a child so that the child will be able to think and make its own decisions. A dog is an animal that is completely unpredictable. Whether people think that they're you know, pets. I mean, one of the good things about me being on this committee is I'm not particularly a pet person. I mean, I think a dog is a dog. It's an animal. It's a piece of property, and it's something that should be controlled. Completely different from a baby or a person or a child or an adult, you know, a human being. It's not so. An adult human being has a decision to make, and has decisions to make, and they make those decisions because we are hopefully thinking individuals. Dogs are not that. Dogs are instinctual. Dogs are their behavior is controlled by their environment and by their natural instincts and by the socialization.
So where you're coming from on this, Vincent, sounds very different than where the animal rights activists are coming from. You're talking about protecting the public health and safety, and I think many of the people who are passionate about this issue are really talking about protecting the dogs.
Yeah, you know, I mean, quite honestly, again, I believe a dog is a piece of property that we should protect, in a sense that we should not allow people to abuse animals, but they should not have the same rights as a human being. I mean, we're talking about a dog, an animal, a pet. However, when that pet or that animal or that dog becomes a potential problem, then we as a legislature need to step in. And I think this model, given the testimony that we received from veterinarians, from animal workers, from animal control officers, both in the city of Boston and the city of Worcester, where I represent, and all across the Commonwealth, have said that this level of inconsistency in the dog's life and in the dog's daily routine can and will cause problems for that animal, which then potentially become problems for every person around that animal.
Are you the first state that has gone to this length to actually ban this sort of business?
I don't know. I got a report that the city of Chicago was looking at doing something similar. The city of Boston, I think, is the first city to ban it. I know that New York is looking at, you know, doing some controls on this, and we may very well be the first state. This is something, I got to tell you, this is something that, you know, at the beginning of this legislative session, I didn't expect to be an issue. I quite honestly, when the bill was filed, didn't think we were going to take it up. You know, but the testimony from the professionals really moved the committee that I chair, and the members of the committee wanted to put this out. And when word of the bill got, you know, circulating around the Massachusetts State House, legislators became very interested in it. One, because who ever thought about renting pets? I mean, it is kind of a bizarre type of new business. And people wanted to know what the big deal was. Why shouldn't we rent a pet? So I've been telling people, you know, this is not about animal rights. This is not about protecting the animal. This is about protecting the public and giving the general public the ability to be safe around, or as safe as we can possibly make them, around dogs.
The unintended effect, I would suspect, of all of this is that unwittingly you've given Flex Pets more publicity than they could ever have hoped for by hiring all the best PR firms in the country. What do you think about that?
I hope Flex Pets does well. Just, I hope they don't do well here in Massachusetts.
All right. I thank you so much for being on our program. Vincent Padone, who is a Massachusetts state representative.
Thank you very much.